And at this time, I would like to introduce our second speaker, Cheryl D. from the D.C. area on resistance to change.
Hi, family. I'm Cheryl, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Cheryl.
And I just need to say I am really, 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 really nervous. But I know that I want to thank the God of my understanding for giving me another opportunity to heal and to grow. And I want to thank the committee for asking me to come out and share my experience, strength, and hope on resistance to change. And the topic is a perfect topic because I was resistant about even coming here to do this. And it's so funny because the first person I called when I got asked was my sponsor, you know, because even after being here a few 24 hours, I still need guidance. My clean date is July 16th, 1992, and I still haven't found it necessary to use. So. But then my disease started working, y'all, so I called her back. I said, do I really have to do this? I said, who says that we have to share workshops? I go to meetings. I do service. Who says we got to share workshops? So I started talking and talking and talking and talking and talking and talking and talking. And when I talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, I'm justifying. I've learned that about myself. When I talk and ain't no air coming out and I ain't giving nobody a chance, I'm justifying. You know, and she told me, you know, even if you didn't do this, I would still love you. And so I got off the phone and I just said, you know what, God? You've given me the tools to be able to talk about this topic. I've been here long enough that I got a whole lot I can share about on resistance to change. Because I have struggled with a lot of stuff since I got here, even walking in the door, you know, because I'm the person who came in the rooms not believing that I was an addict. And newcomer, if you're here and you don't believe you belong here, it's okay. Just do what I did. Y'all said keep coming back. See, because I had this perception of what an addict was. I thought because I grew up in a household with a mom and a dad, even though there was chaos going on in that house, y'all, that I was exempt. I thought the fact that I liked, you know, going to school and getting good grades. Yeah, I was the nerdy girl in school, you know, and I had to come in here and learn how to even accept those kind of things, that I was exempt, you know, because I never forget. I'm from Brooklyn, New York, so I thought, you know, that had a little clout with it. That you from the hood in Brooklyn, you know, you can go through some stuff and sustain and all that kind of stuff. And the addict has no respect to person. The disease, rather, has no respect to person. It does not care where I come from, what my education level is, how many parents I got living in my household, you know. It does not care. All I know is that it wanted my life and tried to get it. And so when I got here, you know, I was scared for real. I wanted to sit back in the corner and hide, you know. And that resistance, that disease, because the disease, you know, kept telling me, you don't belong here. But then I kept listening, and I started identifying with the feelings, because it ain't about the story. Because for real, my story is a bottom. It don't matter. It's my bottom, you know, because June 22nd, 1992 was the day that I got evicted. You see, I still remember that date. But I didn't get clean, y'all, till July 16th, 1992, because I thought that I could drink some Heineken. You know, the bottle, it's the summertime, it's sweating. You know, and alcohol is a drug. You know, it really is a drug. And even though crack ran me up in here, you know, I'm grateful for the rooms. I'm grateful for the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm grateful that somebody who knew somebody in NA told me that I needed to get some help. You know, and I was resistant all the way from the going to treatment, getting a sponsor, and moving into Oxford House. Oh, that one I really was like, oh, my God. You know, I stay clean just so I don't have to go through those things anymore. I'm sorry. I don't want to live like that anymore. Even though that helped me to build a foundation, but I don't want to go back to those kind of things. I want to keep moving forward. And so being in here and just, you know, because I was like, okay, I smoke crack, you know, okay, I could be okay, I'm stopped now, so I should be fine. I ain't nothing wrong, I ain't got to do nothing, I ain't got to do no step work. I ain't, you know, I don't have to do that because I've stopped. But they say the same person will use again, you know. And what I knew was that I needed a change in my personality. And I didn't think that I needed that. You know, I really did not think I needed that. And so I reluctantly got a sponsor, you know, because if I stopped thinking that it was somebody that's going to run my life, instead thought of it as someone who could guide me and teach me how to live. Because for real, if I knew how to live, why would I have ended up in here? You know, and I didn't. And I'm talking about all the things that I resisted in the beginning, but I did anyway. And we do things we don't want to do because they said, do the things that you don't want to do, you know, because that's how we grow in this program. And so I started doing step work, and life did start changing, you know. I really realized how powerless I was because I didn't get in touch with the fact that if you pick up the first one, you can't get high.
You know, and it's the first one where we start going and going and going, and I had to kind of come in here and see that. You know, I mean, I didn't even know what tricking was when I got here. I said, well, they said, well, you exchange sex for drugs. I said, well, I knew the people that I exchanged the sex with. So how could it be tricking? I mean, come on. But I did do that. So I had to even identify with that, you know. And thank God for Narcotics Anonymous, that we come around here and just kind of sit still and listen to each other, you know, and grow with each other. And I don't care what nobody say, Narcotics Anonymous is still working, okay? It's still working. And the reason why I say it's still working is because it's still growing. And what I keep learning in here is that we all have something to offer, no matter what you may be doing or I may be doing, because I'm real judgmental, y'all, too, you know. And sometimes I got to put my judgmental hat down and just let people be where they are, because God keeps saying, I don't need your help, Cheryl. All I want you to do is, like it says in the 12th step, is be an instrument of the power that I can give. And then something will change as long as you keep doing the work, you know. And that's where I learned how to have this relationship with this power, because I came in here believing in God. That's where my life was, you know, where that's the kind of family I came from. But I didn't know how to have that relationship. I didn't know how to trust. I thought I was the one responsible for making things happen, that I had to, you know, not realizing that it was my higher power, who I choose to call God, you know, that was making things happen in my life. And I'm thankful, you know, for being able to see that. So now I can just trust with abandon, you know, to know that everything is going to be okay. Because up until this date, everything has been okay. And even I watch other people, because I like to see the coincidences and miracles in other people's lives too, you know, because that lets me know. When I watch God take a person who goes through so much pain and it looked like their joy is gone, and then their joy is back, because I had a sponsee like that, because that's the benefit of sponsoring people too. And then you watch God give a person their joy back, you know there's a God working in your life. And I'm grateful for that, you know. And I've had some struggles, you know. I've gone through cycles of steps. I've had more than one sponsor, and every last one of them have helped me. And it's so funny because Charlene was my grand sponsor at one time. You know, when I first got here, one of her sponsees sponsored me. And she guided me for the time being that God had her guide me. That's how I look at it as. Ain't no such thing as a bad sponsor, none of that kind of stuff. God says, this is the time you're supposed to be together. This is what you're supposed to do. And sometimes, it don't happen all the time, because some people have the same one since they've been here. But sometimes it happens where you have more than one. But I still got to be open. And even that brings resistance. Because I had a sponsor that I had for like 12 years. And she got sick. And so she really could no longer sponsor me, because it's hard to kind of keep giving your stuff to someone who kind of really isn't well. You know, you kind of want to keep talking to them, but you feel like you're burdening them because they really are not well, you know. And so I came to the realization that I had to get a new sponsor, and I did what y'all said. Y'all said watch people. So I watched people, and I kind of haven't been around here while I knew some things that I wanted in a sponsor. So I watched this lady for a whole year. And she didn't know I watched her for a whole year until I told her after I asked her to sponsor me. You know, and she gave me some requirements, and she asked me what is it that I want from her, you know. And she let me know that we were going to do some work, because I was from kind of the old school in Narcotics Anonymous. It's like you go through all 12 steps, but you write 4 and 8. Mm. But Narcotics Anonymous now has step working guides, if I said the word right, you know, and that's a wonderful guide because, again, it peeled away some stuff that I needed to see revealed, you know. So I got my step working guide and reluctantly went to my sponsor's house. Now, I live at least an hour and 15 minutes away from my sponsor. But I would go to her house and sit for hours, and we still do that today. And sometimes we don't even do step work. Sometimes we end up talking for the whole couple of hours, you know, because sometimes it's like that. You have, because she's become my friend. You know, you start out, I started out as scared of her because resistant, really it's the fear. Scared of her, oh my God, somebody now I got to tell this stuff to again. Somebody that I got to again be vulnerable with and share and open myself up to because she got to get to know me. I thought I kind of was past that, you know, because I was comfortable with the other sponsor. She had gotten to know me. She got to know all those things about me. So now I got to introduce myself to somebody new. And it has been a blessing. So if you have to go through that process, trust and go through the process. Even if it's uncomfortable, even if your mind is telling me, I wonder what she's thinking over there while I'm saying this stuff, because I would do that. I would say stuff, and I'd be looking right at her. What's she thinking? I go through that. And she asked me one day, she said, do you think I'm judging you? And I said, no. I said, and even if you are, I really don't care because I want to get better, you know. And I know that if I keep on, I'm going to get better, you know, because sometimes we do have to make judgments, you know, but it's not about judging people, you know. There is a difference. And so I just keep on with this process, you know, and just learning how to let go, you know, how to not be so resistant. I mean, and I show up in every area of my life because I swear I have tried to control every last defect of character that I have. I have worked so hard to try to see if they can't come out. If I could just kind of step out of my house one day and they really, 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 really just not show up, you know. And all I need to do is get in the car. And y'all know what happened, right? You know, ain't nothing really going on. The person just kind of need to move over, Cheryl. Can you try to stop pretending like you don't see that they need to move over? You know how you keep your face straight and it's like, okay, I know they try. I'm not going to let you in. Okay. And you both might be going to a red light, you know, and those kind of things. It's like, just be charitable sometimes. Just let go, you know, let somebody else. It's okay if they get in front of you. It doesn't mean anything bad about you. You know? Oh, sometimes I get sick of me, you know, in this process. And it's so funny because when I got this topic, and even before I got this topic, there has been things that have been happening in my life the last couple of months. You know, with some of my friendships, I was told that I am accusatory. I want to find all the words because I've had to take a look at all the words. Because every last thing they said to me is who I am. And that's the beauty of doing the step work is that I can have enough humility to say, you know what? What they're saying is right. What they're saying is right. And the work, God, is for me to take a look at it and see what's going on so that I can get better with it. So I heard words like accusatory. I always gotta be right. Why do you think that everything you say is the truth? You know, because I'll start off with let me just tell you the truth, you know. That is me, you know, and it don't always mean it's your truth. It just may be what I perceive, but it don't mean it's the truth. But I want to, you know, I got to make you see what I'm talking about. And then if you're sharing with me, I want you to get something. I keep feeling like, okay, God, it's my turn to write letters. I got to make them see something. Right, when they talking, I got to make them see something because I see something. They must not see it because they still talking about it. You know, I got to make you see something. And so it comes off with this tone because it's not what I say. It's how I say it. Okay, and I keep learning that. So as I said, so then I got to, you know, even sponsees, because I'm not above. I'm not one of those kind of sponsors that feel like I'm the sponsor, you the sponsee. Everything I say, you need to go with. That is not how Narcotics Anonymous works. Because I believe that we're all in here to be vessels, and I don't want to burn someone's flame just based on, because now, let me just tell you this. I don't cause nobody to go back out. I don't do that. I don't even take that one. But what I do believe is that sometimes you can beat up on a person a little too much, you know. And I had to get honest with that about myself. So when I hear things like you're critical, you're judgmental, ain't nothing I can say. And then the work comes in where how is it, because the 12th step in the flat book says learning how to deliver the message. Let God be the one to help them to get it, but learning how to deliver the message. And so one more time, I have to go back, and I done told my sponsor about all of this, shameful as it may feel, because I think I got all this time. I'm not supposed to be going through these kind of things in my relationships, not with friends. Even my wife at home tells me, you sometimes think I'm a child. Yeah, I do, because just like Charlene said, I already got the plan. Just follow it, you know? And it could be something as simple as, okay, well, can we put the vase right here a few inches over instead of it being right here? Come on, Cheryl, let that go. Can I tell you how you need to pack the car? No, let it go, you know? And so, you know, I hear these words. I hear accusatory. I hear condescending. I hear critical. I hear judgmental. I hear all of this. And my disease first says, you ain't got to listen to none of that. You done been here for a while. Everything you say begins and ends with you, so you not their problem. That's what my disease says, you know. But then I got to reflect that back on me. Because everything does begin and end with me. And the question I always ask myself is, why are you being perceived in the way that these people have described what they see in you? And that's where the real work comes. Because I gotta, with the help of my sponsor and God, see why it is that I'm being perceived the way I am. Because that's not what I want to give out. You know, I don't want to give out being that kind of person. I don't want to be the kind of person, because it's like now I can tell when the tongue is too sharp. Even after I say it, because I look in the person's face and they'll have this look like, did she really just say that like that? And it don't just happen at home. It don't just happen at in Narcotics Anonymous. It don't just happen with sponsees. It happened at work too. I have a supervisor. And sometimes I'll act like I'm the boss. Well, I think you ought to do it this way. And then if he says he wants to do it this way, I come back, I think you really ought to do it this way because, and sometimes in the back of my mind, I'll have to say, Cheryl, let that go. You work for him. If he wants it that way and you think it's crazy and wrong, so what? Just do what he asks you to do. Because I keep thinking I got all the answers, you know, and I don't have all the answers. And so a couple of things I've been struggling with is I lost my mom in 2003. And it's been a struggle. That's the hardest thing I've had to go through in Narcotics Anonymous. And so my dad had someone else in his life while my mom was alive. And this person, he married her, my dad's wife. My sponsor finally had to tell me, can you call her by her name? Because I would always say, my dad's wife, my dad's wife, my dad's wife. And this is real hard for me to talk about this because I said 2003. This is 2013. And so when I first kind of heard about it, I said, well, Dad, you can't bring it to my house. You know, because see, what happened is as a little girl, this kind of thing always went on in the household. And what I realized is that behavior affects other people. It affects the family. And it made me think about, too, my behavior affects other people. And so I'm going to try to do this in 5 minutes. So what happens now is going fast forward. And I feel really ashamed about this, is that I still don't like her. I have invited her to my house. And my sponsor gave me all these good things that, you know, where we're supposed to be. And I'm so glad I got the sponsor I got, because I said to her, I said, I don't want to hear that shit. I don't want to hear that I need to let go and embrace her, you know, but even though I know I need to do it for my dad, I know that, and I've done a lot better, y'all, but I am still stuck. And let me just tell you, sometimes, even in being here, we have areas where we're still stuck, but it's okay. You know, I'm talking about it. I'm working through it. And more importantly, I'm praying. Because if I don't do nothing else, I keep praying for resistance to change. Because I am real resistant in that area. Because really, the part of me feels like I'm betraying my mother. And how could you be in my dad's life and come tell me you've been in his life for 25 years? But that's where I am. And that's where the resentment really filled up. But Cheryl, you've been watching this all your life, and it ain't your battle. That was between your mother and your father. But I still feel like it's mine sometimes, you know? And so I got to keep working through it, because I don't feel good that I'm still holding on to a resentment for 10 years. Y'all done taught me how to let resentments go. When I first came in here, I had some that I held on to for 20 years, and I let those go. But I can't seem to let this go. And maybe talking about it openly and it being on tape, you know, I'll really be able to let it go. I'll really be able to do the work, because the book talks about the spiritual consequences of holding on to defects of character. It talks about how it impairs your spirit. And then it goes on to say it will paralyze it if you don't let it go. And so I don't want to be those persons where my spirit is so compromised all the time. Because it ain't healthy. You know, it don't make you feel good. Yeah, I can forget about it. I can even sleep at night some nights. But for real, I'm not where God wants me to be with that. My spirit don't feel good most of the time. And there's a reason why my spirit don't feel good most of the time. Because there's some stuff that I still won't let go of. And that's that resistance. Because it's change you must or die you will. And it's so true in Narcotics Anonymous, and it ain't always got to be about relapsing. You know, it could just be about the spiritual death that you could go through clean. And I don't want to keep going through that. So I keep coming back. I keep praying. And it's a whole lot more stuff I can tell you about resistance, you know. But I'm just grateful that I was here and could be able to go through this process, you know, and to be able to just share about who I am openly and honestly. Because it really is about letting you know who I am, identifying, you know, because if you're here and you're new again and you don't want to be here, you don't understand some of this stuff that we're talking about, it's okay. Just keep coming. Life does get better. It really, really does get better. Every clean day is a successful day, no matter what happens in Narcotics Anonymous. Don't let nobody tell you, even if you got into a fight you didn't use, you still had a successful day. Okay? So I'm just going to keep coming. I'm going to keep coming, and I'm going to keep coming. Don't let nobody take your seat. Thanks for letting me share.